Thank you very much for being here this Sunday evening to the Sunday Feast Festival program in the presence of Shri Radha Kunj Bihari Ji, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra Mahesh, Shri Gaur Nithai, Shri Gopal Ji, Shri Nath Ji Bhagwan, and Srila Prabhupada. Anybody new here for the first time? Okay, so welcome back basically. I've been given this service to speak on Bhagavad Gita today. I consider it as a service because this is for my own purification. And as we speak, first is the speaker who is the listener also. So I consider it as an opportunity for my own benefit, for my own purification. And in the process, if it helps anybody to understand the message of Bhagavad Gita, that is the mercy of Shri Radha Kunj Bihari. So I pay my obeisances to all the devotees assembled here, and I seek blessing of all the senior devotees present here, His Grace Nandanandan Prabhu and all other devotees here. So I will maybe directly start with paying my obeisances in vocation prayers. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshuranmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripatam Maham Vande Shri Guru Dinatarine Paramananda Madhavam Shri Chaitanyeshwaram Namom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Namo Mahavedanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurakshe Namah Panchatattvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatrubhyascha Kripasindhu Bhyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. One request, if everybody can please move forward so that if any other devotees are coming later on, they can quietly sit in the back rather than disturbing everybody in the middle of the class. Thank you. So today's topic is Lord's rule of reciprocation. How the Lord reciprocate with different devotees. So we'll be reading one verse from Srimad Bhagavad Gita and then discussing based on that verse. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ये यथा मां प्रपद्यन्ते तां तथैव भजाम्यहं। मम वर्तमानुवर्तन्ते मनुष्यः पार्थ सर्वशः। सो दिस इज रीडिंग फ्रॉम भगवद गीता चैप्टर 4 टेक्स्ट 11। So Lord Krishna mentions in Bhagavad Gita, as all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follow my path in all respect, O son of Pitha. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Everyone is searching for Krishna in different aspect of his manifestations. Krishna, the supreme personality of Godhead, is partially realized in his impersonal Brahman Jyoti effulgence and as the all-pervading super soul dwelling within everything, including the particles of atoms. But Krishna is fully realized only by his pure devotees. Consequently, Krishna is the object of everyone's realization, and thus anyone and everyone is satisfied according to one's desire to have him. In the transcendental world also, Krishna reciprocates with his pure devotees in the transcendental attitude, just as the devotee wants him. One devotee may want Krishna as the supreme master, another as his friend, another as his son, and still another as his lover. Krishna rewards all the devotees equally, according to their different intensities of love for him. In the material world, the same reciprocation of feeling are there, and they are equally exchanged by the Lord with the different type of worshippers. The pure devotee, both here and in the transcendental abode, associate with him in person and are able to render personal service to the Lord, and thus derive transcendental bliss in his loving service. As for those who are impersonalist and who want to commit spiritual suicide by annihilating the individual existence of the living entity, Krishna helps also by absorbing them into his effulgence. Such impersonalists do not agree to accept the eternal blissful personality of Godhead. Consequently, they cannot relish the bliss of transcendental personal service to the Lord, having extinguished their individuality. So I will stop here from the purport. So, reading the verse and the translation once again. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stateva bhajamyaham mam vartamanu vartante manushyah partha sarvashah. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. As all surrender unto me, I reward them accordingly. Everyone follow my path in all respect, O son of Pritha. So this verse is very significant, describing the Lord's reciprocation with all different type of devotees with their different degrees of intensities. And this verse actually we can consider in two parts, the first half portion of the verse. So I'm going to focus more on the first half of this verse actually. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tam stathaya bhajamyaham. As one reciprocate with me, I reward them accordingly. And the second part of the verse also is very significant and most of the time mostly misinterpreted and misunderstood. So if we have time, we'll try to spend some time on the second part of this verse also. But focusing on the first half part of this verse. So how Krishna reciprocate with different type of devotee? Sometimes it's not as considered as, okay, if I give 5% to Krishna, so Krishna will also give me 5%. So Krishna's reciprocation is not in terms of quantitative reciprocation. It's more as a qualitative reciprocation of Krishna, how Krishna reciprocate. And it is again as per the surrender of the devotee, how the devotee approaches Krishna. Krishna says, I reward them accordingly. As in a general behavior also, in the material world, or within a family also, one can see, if the behavior or the exchange between husband, wife, or father and son is respectful, so there is a mutual reciprocation. But if the wife doesn't want to listen to husband, or the son doesn't want to listen to the father, generally what is the reciprocation? So husband may tell wife, okay, I don't care, whatever you want, you do it. And if the son doesn't listen to the father, so father may say, okay, I don't want to interfere in your life, you do as you like. But if the son is very obedient and is very caring, listening to father, listening to his advice, so father reciprocates, he is also very loving. And the father's reciprocation may vary based on different sons. If one son is very obedient, so father may be more favorably disposed toward that son. But if the other son is disobedient and spoiled child, doesn't care for anything, so father may not care about that person, that child. So same way Krishna says, I reciprocate as per the devotee approach me. But Lord is equal to everyone in one sense. So Krishna says, Sama sarveshu bhuteshu, I am equal to everyone, I am not partial to anybody. Sometimes people may think, oh, Krishna is partial toward his devotee. So as generally seen in all the various pastimes, the devatas, they will approach the Supreme Lord and Lord will say, okay, I will come to help you. And Lord is always taking side of the devatas and he is always willing to destroy the demons. And one may say, oh, what kind of equality is that? He is taking side of one party and he is harming the other one. What is that kind? What kind of equality is that? But Krishna is equal to everybody. And what is that equality? Again, this equality is not that Krishna behave equally or he gives equal to everybody. Krishna's reciprocation or the equality is in sense of everybody is given the equal opportunity to approach Krishna. Krishna doesn't say, I condemn you eternity in hell. You don't have any scope to come back to me. So Krishna is equal to everybody. Everyone has equal opportunity to approach Krishna, to surrender unto him and return back to his spiritual world, spiritual abode. Krishna doesn't say the gate of my spiritual world is open only for this category of people. It's open only for the brahmanas or it's open only for the sannyasis. So the path of bhakti is open for everybody equally. So everybody has equal opportunity. But how Krishna reciprocate with different degree of devotees or different category of devotee is as their level of surrender or as their level of reciprocation with Krishna. And there are many beautiful pastimes narrated in the scriptures to establish this particular point or to establish the equanimity of Krishna, his reciprocation with his devotee. So just an example, the pastime of Krishna's reciprocation with his friend Sudama. How many of you know the story of Krishna and Sudama? So Sudama was Krishna's friend during his Gurukul. So when Lord Krishna was staying in the ashram of Sandipani Muni, there he had a friend named Sudama who was a poor brahmana. So Lord Krishna developed friendship with him. And as they finished their education, they went into their different path. Krishna came to Dwarika. Ultimately, he became the king of Dwarika, known as Dwarikadhish. And Sudama is living like a poor brahmana. He is married and he has few children. And he is living like a very poor person, just absorbed in his bhakti, in his meditation. And he will go out, acquire whatever little bit he can, and he will maintain his family in that way. And his wife, Sudama's wife, is struggling to make the ends meet together, to take care of all the children. And once she told Sudama, I know Krishna is your dear friend. Why don't you go to Krishna and ask for some help? And Sudama said, no, I don't want to go to Krishna and ask him for some benefit for myself. And then his wife implored him that you go, don't ask for any benefit, just go to meet him. Maybe just looking at your condition, Krishna himself will give you some gifts which will be enough for us to maintain ourselves. So Sudama agreed to that proposal, saying, I will not ask anything from my side to Krishna. I will just go to meet my dear friend. This is a good opportunity. At least I can go and meet him after a long time. And Sudama's wife, they thought, when you go to a friend or any relative or somebody to meet them, you should not go empty-handed. So in the principle, when we come to the temple to take darshan of Lord, generally the principle is one should not come empty-handed. We should bring some gift for the Lord. It could be anything small, just a flower, some fruit or something, just a pure offering from the heart. So Sudama thought, I should take something as a gift for Krishna. And his wife, he went in the neighborhood, begged for something, and she brought some chip rice, packed all them in small potli, small cloth, tied it in the cloth, and Sudama is carrying that and he is traveling to Dwarka. Barefoot, he is traveling all the way to Dwarka. As he approached the palace of Krishna, now Sudama is becoming very hesitant. Should I really go? He is the king and I am just a poor brahmana, beggar. There is no comparison. It is even hard to claim, oh, I am the friend of the king. So in this material world, can you imagine? People will say, oh, friendship is among the equals. How dare you call me your friend? We are not equals. So Sudama was very hesitant. Should I really approach or not? And as he went at the door front of the palace, there are the doorkeepers, the guards are there. And finally Sudama approached, I want to meet Krishna. Oh, you want to meet Krishna? Why? Just tell us whatever you want, we will give it to you. Why you want to meet Krishna? So no, I just want to meet Krishna. And finally, he told, I'm Krishna's friend. And few of the gatekeepers started laughing. Oh, you claim yourself as friend? Why you make this mockery? Just tell us what you want, we will give you. But then another guard came. No, he may be real friend of Krishna. You never know Lord's majesty. So don't interpret anything. So let me go inform Krishna. And as he went inside, so Krishna is sitting on his throne, all his queens are serving Krishna. And the doorkeeper, the guard came in, he informed, there is a brahmana, very poor brahmana. He looks like a very poor person. He doesn't have any turban on his head, no clothes on his body, a torn up dhoti, no shoes on his feet. Looks like very poor brahmana. And Krishna asks, what is his name? And the guard says, he tells his name as Sudama. And as Krishna heard the name Sudama, Krishna was overjoyed. And he got up from his throne, left everything. All the queens were serving. Somebody is doing chamara, somebody is trying to put the shoes in Krishna's feet, serving him nicely. Krishna left everything, no shoes in his feet, and he started running towards the gates of the palace. And on the way, his clothes are going here and there, his jewelry is falling apart. He is kind of hitting the other persons coming from other side. He is hitting the gatekeepers. And finally, everybody is surprised to see why he is the king. He is Dwarikadhish. Why he is running towards the gate? What kind of guest has approached there? And Krishna finally went there and embraced Sudama and brought him inside. And he made him sit on his seat, on his throne. And he sat in the feet of Sudama. I'm telling this pastime in very brief. There's much more detail, we can go into that. So Krishna sat in the feet of Sudama, made him sit on his own throne. And he asked Rukmini, you go get some water to wash the feet of Sudama. And Rukmini is thinking, what kind of guest has come? Who is this special guest? There are so many servants, maid servants here. Krishna didn't ask anybody. Krishna personally asked me to go get some water, to wash, to serve this brahmana. He must be a very special person. So Krishna treated him nicely, gave him all the due respect, washed his feet. Ultimately, he washed the feet of Sudama with the tears from his eyes, saying, "My dear friend, ultimately he has come to see me. He has come to meet me." And he made him stay in a nice room, gave nice clothes to Sudama. And in the night, as Krishna went in the room of Sudama, Sudama is very hesitant what to talk to Krishna, what to tell. And Krishna said, "You came all the way to meet me. I am very happy today. And I am sure, so I know you are married, you have few children, and I am sure sister-in-law must have given something for me. So please give me what my sister-in-law gave for me." And Sudama is very hesitant. "Oh, he is the king of this big kingdom, Dwarika, and I brought this few chip rice, and all those also begged from different houses, all are of different type, all mixed together. How I can offer him this small offering?" Krishna, knowing the heart of Sudama, that he is so hesitant, he snatched the bag from Sudama's clothes and opened it up with so much love. "So such a nice offering. This is very dear to me. This chip rice is so dear to me. And thank you so much for bringing this offering." And he ate a handful of chip rice. And as he is eating the chip rice, actually Krishna did not ask Sudama, "What do you want? Do you want anything from me? See, I am the king and you are such a poor brahmana. Do you want anything from me?" Krishna, knowing the heart of Sudama, and knowing the situation, he does not want to embarrass Sudama by asking him. That Sudama will feel lower, that, "Oh, I am such a poor person." Krishna, without asking Sudama, Krishna gave everything to Sudama. All the opulences. So as Krishna ate one handful of chip rice, he gave everything to Sudama. And as he is going to eat the second handful, Rukmini came and hold caught of Krishna's hand. "You already gave him everything. Now you want to send me also? I am the queen of all the opulences. She is Lakshmi Devi, right, herself. So you want to send me also to reside in his house?" So Krishna says, Sudama gave whatever he had. It's not just a handful of chip rice that Sudama gave. Sudama gave me whatever he had, whatever possession he had. And as per the rule of reciprocation, I have to give whatever I have. I gave him only a small exchange. Even if I give him everything, whatever belongs to me, that will also not be equal to his offering. So that is the reciprocation of Krishna. Without asking, Krishna fulfilled the need and desire of his devotees. But what happens to us? When we come to temple, we come in front of Krishna. Do we come with a gift for Krishna, or we come to get gifts from Krishna? We say, "Krishna, please give me this. Krishna, give me nice job, nice wife, nice husband, nice kids, big bangla, big bank balance, resolve all my problems." So we come to Krishna and keep asking Krishna, "Give me, give me, give me, give me." But Krishna knows what we really need, and he can fulfill all our needs and desires. So that is a beautiful reciprocation Krishna have with his devotees. And there are so many other beautiful pastimes actually. So few pastimes from Ramayana also. So Lord Ram came in this material world. He took avatar. And we say Lord comes at time to time for different purposes. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya cha dushkritam dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami yuge yuge." I come to establish the religious principle. I come to destroy the demonic forces. That I come to give pleasure to my devotees. So among all these reasons, actually the main reason of Lord's appearance is to give pleasure to his devotees. He doesn't have to personally come to kill the miscreants, to kill the demons. Krishna is sitting in everybody's heart. And just sitting in the heart, he can give a heart attack and kill all these demons. He doesn't have to personally come. So many people die of heart attacks these days. Krishna can give heart attack to anybody sitting in his personal abode. He doesn't have to come. And Krishna doesn't have to come to establish the religious principle. He can send somebody, he can send his representative, he can send his servants. But why Krishna come? To have loving reciprocation with his devotees. To attract the heart of his devotees. That is the only purpose of Krishna's personal appearance. So Lord Ramachandra came in Treta Yuga as the son of Dashrath and Kaushalya. And at that time he had the purpose, we think purpose of Lord's appearance was to kill the demons. He wanted to destroy demon king Ravana to relieve the burden of earth. But that is all secondary. Lord's real purpose of appearance is to give pleasure to his devotee. And at that time there are so many devotees who are present on the face of earth who are waiting for Lord to come. And one such devotee was Mother Shabari. So when Lord Ram took exile for 14 years, it's not that he took exile to kill Ravana, to be able to destroy all the demons who are torturing the sages and everybody. Lord took exile, Vanvas, for 14 years to give pleasure to his devotee, to be able to go see face to face his devotees. Lord said, if I am settled as the king of Ayodhya, I will not be able to go for so long out of my country and give my personal audience to these devotees. And Lord said, Mother Shabari, she has become a hermit. She is waiting for me every day. So Shabari, her guru, Matang Rishi, told her, one day Lord Ram will personally come in your hermitage, in your ashram, Lord Ram will personally come. So Lord Ram took exile to give darshan to Mother Shabari. Mother Shabari is every day she is waiting, today Lord Ram will come. And every day she is putting the flowers on the pathway to her hermitage, on her cottage. Every day practically, and people are thinking she has gone crazy. Every day she is doing this and Lord hasn't come for so long, nobody has come. And one day Lord personally walked. So he said, you have become hermit to seek my audience, I will also come as an hermit in your house. So Lord took exile to reciprocate with Mother Shabari, to reciprocate with her love. He walked all the way to come to the house of Shabari, the cottage of Shabari. And as Mother Shabari received Lord Ram, washing her feet with her tears, made him sit on a simple asana, simple seat. And what she offered to Lord Ram? She offered her some fruit which is called as ber. And what is that ber? That also she has eaten first to taste. She want to offer the best to the Lord and she want to see if it is really nectarian or it's sour. So let's leave out the bad ones and give the best to the Lord. And Lord is exchanging the love. He is reciprocating with the love and he is eating those eaten bears already. And there are so many other devotees in that Leela. Hanuman, he is the greatest servant of the Lord. Sugriv, who helped Lord to cross the ocean, to build the bridge and kill Ravan and bring Mother Sita back. So as Lord Ram came back to Ayodhya with all these monkey warriors, Lord Ram's brother Bharat, he has made a very big nice palace for Lord Ram. My Lord, you stay in this palace, I specially built this palace for you. And Lord says, Sugriv is also very dear to me and he has served me so much, I cannot repay him. So I request you give this palace to Sugriv. So what palace is being built for Lord Ram? Lord Ram said, you give this palace to Sugriv. Let him stay here, enjoy all the opulences. And then what about Hanuman? Hanuman has served practically so much. And Lord Ram thinks, I cannot even repay him back. One day Lord Ram is sitting in his assembly with all the other people sitting on their asanas in the assembly. And Hanuman is sitting at the feet of Lord. He is always at the feet of Lord serving Lord Ram. So during the assembly, Lord Ram is looking at Hanuman. And as Hanuman tried to look at Lord Ram, he looks away. He started looking at Mother Sita. So again as Hanuman is looking at the feet of Lord, so again Lord is looking at Hanuman. And as Hanuman looks at Lord, Lord turns the face and look at Mother Sita. So this is happening practically all day. And at night, Mother Sita finally asked, Prabhu, you, Hanuman, you were looking at Hanuman, and but as he was looking at you, you were turning your face away and you started looking at me. Why? Why you were not looking at Hanuman? So Lord Ram said, I was looking at Hanuman out of affection, because everybody is my child. As a fatherly affection towards my son, I was looking at him. But as he is looking at me, I am not able to look at him face to face, eye to eye contact, because he is the lender and I am the debtor. And what kind of debtor is there who is capable of looking at his lender? He has done so much service, I cannot repay in exchange of his service. So Mother Sita said, then if you cannot repay him, just write on a piece of paper and give him. Here, you have done so much service for me, I cannot repay you. Just give that to him. And next day, Lord Ram told Hanuman, you have done so much service for me, I can never pay back your debt. So that is the mercy of the Lord. He is bound by the love of his devotees. He is not bound by if somebody has a lot of knowledge, if somebody is very beautiful looking, somebody has a lot of opulence, big car, big bungalow. He is offering the food in golden plates and spoons and bowls, everything. Lord is not looking all these externals. He is looking at the devotion in the heart. He is bhavagrahi, bhavagrahi janardana. He is looking at the heart of the devotee. And still sometimes people think, oh, Krishna is biased. He is partial towards his devotee. Krishna is not partial. If somebody has loving devotion towards him, he has loving reciprocation. But if somebody has envious nature towards Krishna, somebody is trying to cheat Krishna, Krishna gives that reciprocation also. And Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if somebody is trying to cheat, I am the biggest cheater. Nobody can cheat me. Hiranyakashipu, he wanted to worship, do a lot of austerities and get a boon. And he wanted to cheat basically. When Brahma appeared in front of Hiranyakashipu and asked him, what boon do you want? Hiranyakashipu said, I want to become immortal. Nobody can kill me. And Brahma said, even I am not immortal. I cannot give you that boon. Ask something else. And Hiranyakashipu said, okay, let me throw the net of words and try to capture Brahma, try to cheat him. So he said, okay, give me the boon. I cannot be killed in daytime. I cannot be killed in nighttime. I cannot be killed by any animal. I cannot be killed by the human. I cannot be killed inside the house, outside the house, by any weapon, by anything. And Brahma said, Tathastu. And Hiranyakashipu was thinking, see, I'm so smart. I have cheated him. Ultimately, I got the boon of immortality. Now nobody can kill me. And Krishna came as Narsingadev, ripping apart the chest of Hiranyakashipu, killing him by taking care of all the benedictions still he had got. So Krishna says, if you want to cheat, I am the biggest cheat. Nobody can cheat me. And if somebody, while following the bhakti, while following bhakti, somebody has impure motives, Krishna reciprocates accordingly. So if somebody approaches Krishna with materialistic desires, somebody is a pious materialist, he has faith in God, but he is just a material desire. So Krishna fulfills those material desires. But what is the reciprocation? Oh, you want these things from me? You want something from me, you will get something from me. You will not get me. So you stay in this world, get the opulences. If somebody is consider Krishna as an ordinary person, considering his form to be just imagination, Krishna makes their activities, their forms as Maya. If somebody is a real devotee with real transcendentalist, real bhava for Krishna, Krishna makes their activities and their form into transcendental. Krishna says, Janam karma cha me divyam evam yaveti tatvataha. Deham punarjanma naeti mameti so Arjuna. If somebody understands the real my real nature of my activities and my form, they will come back to my abode. So their form, their activities also will become transcendental. And if somebody thinks Krishna's form just to be some impersonal Brahmajyoti, somebody want to commit spiritual suicide by merging into the effulgence of Krishna, Krishna gave that also as a reciprocation. Oh, you want to get merged into my effulgence? Keep hanging on the atoms of these rays of my effulgence. He absorbs them in his effulgence. So Krishna reciprocates as per the intensity, as per the desire of the devotee. And while being in the process of bhakti, if somebody has the desire of just getting something from Krishna or just getting some name and fame, Krishna says, you want name and fame, you will get name and fame. You will not get prema. So Krishna can give everything. If somebody is just looking for name and fame, Krishna can give that also. Some can become very popular. Oh, this Prabhuji gives very nice classes. Oh, he does very nice cooking. He does very nice kirtan singing, this, that. So he can become famous. Sometimes people get these different motives by being in movement also. That, oh, I want to get some position in the movement. I want to be recognized as a nice kirtanya. I want to be recognized as a nice preacher. I want to be recognized as a book distributor. So people get some motives in the process of bhakti also. But if somebody has the real desire to serve Krishna, if somebody has the real desire to glorify Krishna, spread Krishna's glories, so Krishna also reciprocates. He makes the devotee also famous. But if devotee has a desire to become famous, Krishna says, you will become famous, but stay here only. So many devotees who had the sincere desire to glorify Krishna, Krishna made them so popular. In this world, there are so many people who are trying to become popular, either as a politician or a sports person or a Hollywood, Bollywood star. But their fame is very minute. Their fame is for a short duration. But if somebody is serving Krishna, glorifying Krishna, Krishna spreads their fame like anything. They are remembered for millenniums and millenniums. Bhagavatam is full with such devotees who have become so much famous, and we still talk about them, we read about them, we glorify them. Prahlad Maharaj, Ambarish Maharaj, and in the recent history, Narsi Mehta, Mirabai, so many great devotees, and then our own dear Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wrote so many volumes of books just glorifying Krishna, spreading the glories of Krishna. He wrote at least 80 volumes of books, 18 books of Srimad Bhagavatam, narrating Bhagavatam and giving commentaries on Bhagavatam. And in exchange, how Krishna reciprocated, you have done so much to glorify me, to spread my glories, I will make sure your glories are sung. And he inspired the disciples of Prabhupada to write commentaries, the right volumes of books to glorify Prabhupada. Prabhupada Leela Amrit, books and books of volume of Leela Amrit, glorifying Prabhupada. So that's how Krishna reciprocate. And that's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us a very wonderful principle. One should not desire anything on the path of bhakti. Krishna is already in the heart, he knows how to reciprocate, what really one somebody needs. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the principle, na dhanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajagadish kamay mam janmani janmanishvare bhavatad bhaktir ahetu kitvai. And Mahaprabhu said, don't desire, all I desire is your bhakti, life after life after life. I do not desire anything. Na dhanam, I don't want wealth. Na janam, I don't want birth in a very aristocratic family, high birth. Na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, I don't want association of beautiful woman. Kavitamva, I don't want followers, name and fame, publicity. All I want is your bhakti. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, knowing the situation of Kali Yuga, he was very careful how to represent this message. He put na in front of everything. He didn't say na dhanam janam sundarim kavitam, because people will misinterpret. They will say, okay, Mahaprabhu said na dhanam, I don't want wealth, but let higher birth, women's glorification, name and fame, followers, let all that come. Prabhupada, Mahaprabhu only mentioned about wealth, na dhanam. So Mahaprabhu said, na dhanam, na janam, no higher birth also. Na sundarin, no beautiful woman. Kavitamava, I don't want any following, any fame. And that is how our nature, our desire should be while serving Krishna. Without any intentions, lower motives, one should be engaged in service of Krishna. And as I mentioned earlier, sometimes people think, oh, Krishna reciprocates only with his sincere devotees and he is very partial with them and he makes others suffer. He doesn't take care of others. And Krishna says, Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu, I am equal to everyone. I take care of everybody. Nobody, no matter if somebody believes in me or does not believe in me, I am taking care of everybody. From a small ant to a big elephant to all these various humans, everything, I am taking care of everybody. I am providing for everybody. And if somebody doesn't believe in Krishna's reciprocation, Krishna's proprietorship, Krishna's control on everything, Krishna is just saying, okay, you don't believe in me, but I am sitting there in your heart, just witnessing your activities. Krishna comes, reciprocate them in the sense of the law of karma. I am just witnessing all your activities, pious and impious activities. If you are willing to turn towards me, I am willing to reciprocate, to take care of you. But we have rejected Krishna somehow. We say, oh, we don't want you. We will manage everything by ourselves. But Krishna is still there, waiting for us to turn towards Krishna. And if somebody is just not attracted towards Krishna, but they will be serving the various aspects of Krishna's energy, they will be serving Maya. All the various things, the various attractions in this world, they are the different expansions of Krishna's opulences only. So even if somebody is an atheist, somebody doesn't believe in Krishna, Krishna is taking care of them also. Once there was one sadhu who was living in a, what do you call, dharamshala, some motel at some holy place. And in the morning he was chanting the holy name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So in the morning he is doing his sadhana. And in that dharamshala, that motel, in the other rooms next to him, there is some other person sleeping. And he is becoming very irritated. Oh, this person is chanting so loudly, disturbing my sleep. And he went, knocked on his door, can't you stop this chanting, you're disturbing my sleep. He said, this morning time is to glorify Lord. You also give up your sleep. Please chant the holy name. Now, I don't believe in Lord. I don't believe in His supremacy. I believe everything. One can achieve everything with their own endeavor, with their own strength. He says, no, Lord is providing for everybody. He is taking care of everybody. I don't believe in that. So this person, this saintly person, he is trying to convey the message. Lord is taking care of everybody. He is feeding everybody. And this person is arguing, if somebody doesn't want to eat, how can your Lord feed? So I challenge you, if I insist I will not eat, can you show me your Lord will force me to eat? He said, yes, I can prove. Even if you don't want to eat, but Lord wants to feed you, He can feed you. So this person, he made a bet. Okay, if this happens, if I will fast for the whole day, and if your Lord can feed me, make me, force me to eat, I will accept His supremacy and I will start chanting the holy name. So there was a bet, and this person thought, I will fast the whole day. If I don't want to eat, how can somebody force me to eat? And better I will go to some secluded place, hide somewhere, so nobody can even force me to eat. So he went into the forest. He hid under a tree. He hid in the bushes in a tree. He said, no, I will sit here all day and night. Just sit here. Will not eat anything. Nobody will know where I am. Nobody will be able to feed me. So as he was sitting, few hours passed. Afternoon came. So there were few people, villagers passing by from that forest. And it was the afternoon time. They sat under that tree. They thought, oh, let's have our lunch. So they put out all the food and preparing to eat their lunch. And as they were about to eat, they heard some voices of the horses and somebody coming, approaching there. They say, oh, some dacoits are coming. Let's save our life, run away from there. Run away from this place before the dacoits see us. So they left everything there and ran away. And the dacoits approached there. And they came close to that place. They saw all these nice food items lying there. They say, oh, nice, this all food is there. And we are hungry also, let's eat something. So they came down from their horses, sat down. And as they were going to eat, one dacoit told the leader, oh, maybe this is a trap. Maybe somebody knows that we are passing by from here and he wants to kill us by feeding some poison in this food. What if somebody has put poison in this food? Let's try to search this place all around and see if somebody is hiding, spying on us. They started looking everywhere and they found this person hiding in the tree. They forcibly got him down. So you have arranged all this, you want to kill us? You have put some poison in this? No, I don't know anything. I was just hiding from my family, from other things. I am fed up with my life. They said, no, you are the spy, you want to kill us. So before we eat, we will force you to eat and make sure this doesn't have any poison. And he was insisting, no, I don't want to eat. Please, I'm fasting, I don't want to eat. And they started beating him left and right. They beat him so much and forced the food inside his mouth. And this person came to his senses. If really the Lord wants to feed me, no matter what I do, he will make sure to feed me. Even if I insist not to. So Lord is taking care of everybody. Finally he came back and took to the chanting of the holy name. So Lord is taking care of everybody, no matter what. He is reciprocating with everybody. No matter one believes him in, does not believe in him. Reciprocate with him with loving desires, loving emotions or some impure motives. But Krishna is so magnanimous, he reciprocates even if somebody has impure motive, he purifies those impure motives and gives them his bhakti. The glorious pastime of Putana. Putana, in her previous life, she was the daughter of the demon king, Daitya king Bali. And as Vamandev, Lord incarnated as Vamandev, to protect the devatas. So as he entered, so if somebody, some of you don't know the details of this pastime, just telling in brief. So Bali Maharaj was performing a big sacrifice, big yagya, to get some powers. And the devatas approached the Lord, if he is successful in his performing his yagya, he will become so powerful and he will torture us. So please, stop his yagya, let not fulfill his yagya. And Lord incarnated as a dwarf brahmana, with a beautiful young brahmana boy, and he entered into the arena of Bali Maharaj's yagya sacrifice, yagya ceremony. And as he is entering, looking at his beauty, everybody is mesmerized. So Bali had a daughter, Ratnamala. As she saw this beautiful young boy coming, at first she had the desire to have this boy as a son, suckle this boy, take him in her lap. But as Vamandev approached and he practically took everything away from Bali Maharaj, same Ratnamala, she got the impure desire in her heart. She got so much envy in the heart. She said, I want to kill this boy immediately. I wish I want to kill him. And Lord is sitting in everybody's heart. He reciprocated with both desires. She wants to suckle me and she wants to kill me also. Let me reciprocate both ways. Fulfill her desire. And she came in the next Leela when Lord came as Lord Krishna. She came as Putana. And what did Lord do? Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jingam sepayayadapeyasadhavi lebe ghatim dhatragatim tato anyam kamba dayalum sharanam brajema. Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam, this sister of Bakasura demon, she came by smearing the kalakuta, the deadly poison, on her breast, thinking, I will feed Krishna. And as he sucked this
deadly poison, he will die. And what did Lord Krishna do in reciprocation? He gave the position of his mother to this Putana, she demon. That is the merciful nature of Krishna. Who can be more merciful than whose shelter I should take? Kamva dayalum sharanam brajema. Who can be more merciful than him? So whatever motive one may have, if one surrenders unto Krishna, Krishna reciprocate with them. Krishna fulfill their desire, and Krishna is equal to everybody in that sense. So whatever desire, whatever motive one may have, one should approach the Lord. He does not see our fault. He is always ready to look the smallest good quality we may have. So here you take darshan of Lord Jagannath. And Lord Jagannath has big round eyes. What is that? That Lord Jagannath with his big round eyes, it's like a magnifying glass. And with that magnifying glass, Lord is looking at us. He is not looking at the fault, the innumerable faults we may have. With the magnifying glass, he is looking at the slightest good quality we may have, the slightest desire to serve the Lord. And he is willing to take us in his shelter. That is the merciful nature of Krishna. So Bhagavatam describes, and Prabhupada mentioned in the purport of this verse, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udharadi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. No matter if somebody has the desire to get material benefit or one want the liberation, no matter what kind of desire one may have, with full intensity, one should engage in the service of Krishna. That is the real benediction of human form of life, to engage in the service of Krishna. We may be engaged in so many other activities to take care of our family, house, cars, job, occupation, society, neighbors, relatives, all these various things. No matter how much time you spend in that, how much successful you become, unless one has the desire to engage in the service of Krishna, all those things are useless. And Bhagavatam propounds the highest dharma. And Bhagavatam says, Shrama eva hi kevalam. All these activities are just the useless labor. Unless one gets this desire to serve Krishna. So one with full heart take to this process of bhakti yoga, engage in service of Krishna. That only can bring success of life. And how to engage in this process of bhakti? How to engage in devotional service? Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. The three basic limbs of bhakti. Shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. Hearing the pastimes of Krishna. Hearing the glorification of Krishna. Then kirtanam, chanting the glorification of Krishna. And then smaranam, remembering the pastimes of Krishna. To be able to remember the pastime of Krishna, one has to first hear and chant the names of Krishna. Then one may be able to remember. So Prahlad Maharaj did not say smaranam, shravanam, kirtanam. He said shravanam, kirtanam, smaranam. If one thinks, oh, I am always remembering Krishna, I don't need to go to satsang, I don't need to do the chanting of the holy name. How can we be able to remember Krishna? To be able to remember, first one has to hear and then speak about the glorifications of Krishna. And the best process to engage in Shravanam Kirtanam is the hearing and chanting of the holy name. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. And this is the process which guarantees the freedom from the bondage of this material world. There is no other process. Harer naam, harer naam, harer naam eva kevalam. Kalau nasteva, 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 gatir anyata. There is no other way, there is no other way, there is no other way than the chanting of the holy name, the chanting of the holy name, the chanting of the holy name. So that's why Prabhupada created this whole process of the Sunday love feast, where everybody can come, take darshan of the Lord, hear Krishna katha, engage in the Shravanam and Kirtanam process. And we should take benefit of what Prabhupada has created, this legacy. So my humble request, somebody here, I know you are all nice devotees, but somebody who is not chanting the holy name, please take to this chanting of holy name. Please read Bhagavad Gita, the message of Krishna. That only can make our life successful. This Bhagavad Gita, which Krishna personally spoke 5,000 years ago to Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. So this is guiding mankind, guiding the humanity even now also. So everybody should acquire this great wisdom, this book of wisdom, and try to read, learn this message of Bhagavad Gita and practically apply in our lives. There is a book stand outside. You can inquire from the book stand about this book Bhagavad Gita, and there are many other wonderful books. You can check out other books also. So I will stop here if anybody has any question and comment. So message of Bhagavad Gita is pure. If I spoke anything wrong, that is fault in me. So please correct me, please forgive me if I spoke anything wrong. But this message of Bhagavad Gita is completely pure. So thank you very much. If anybody has any question or comment. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Yes, sir. So that also Krishna will give. Yeah, so if somebody desires the association of devotees, everything is arranged by Krishna. How we came in the association of devotees, that is also arranged by Krishna. It again depends. First we have to desire. We have to have little faith. As we show our faith in Krishna, as we show our desire, Krishna makes arrangement. Atau shraddha, tatha sadhu sangha, tatha bhajana kriya, tatha anartha nivritti. So first it has to start with our shraddha. So when we have little minutest shraddha, then Krishna arranges sadhu sangha for us. He brings us in the association of devotee. Practically everybody can vouch to that. How we came in this process of Krishna consciousness. Maybe we met somebody, we got some book from somebody, somebody preached to us, somebody invited us to some satsang program, somebody invited us to the temple. So this is how we came in the process. And from how this started, maybe there was a little desire somewhere at some point of time which we may also not know. And we may have done some minutest service to some devotee, unknowingly, as an Agyat Sukriti. So which brought Agyat Sukriti as a result of our little doing some service somewhere, which brought us in the association of devotees. And that is from where our Bhajana Kriya starts. So keep on doing it. So even somebody may be not chanting with full affection, but if we desire, Krishna, please, 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 I want to chant with nice devotion, with full focus and attention, your holy name. Please bestow that mercy on me. If we have that sincere desire, Nam Prabhu reciprocates. It does not matter who considers anybody as beautiful or who considers somebody as ugly. It's again in one's eyes. Right? So general principle is one should not associate with women. One should not have the desire of the association of beautiful women that, oh, I want to enjoy with them. So there was a pastime of Chota Haridas. So he went away from the association of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He started associating with those Bhatta women. And Mahaprabhu dragged him forcibly. Right. So thank you for your question. Anybody has any comment? Yes, Mahaprabhu.
The story of Sudama Brahman is such a nice story. How great Krishna is, how personal Krishna is. And Sudama Brahman was walking back. He had no idea Krishna.
Right. So Krishna fulfilled. Krishna gave him everything without him knowing. He did not know until he reached his home.
Thinking Krishna is so merciful because he knows that he would have given me something. I I've either forgotten.
Yes. Right.
And if you see how merciful Krishna is, how can we not be moved?
Right, exactly. So that is the merciful nature of Krishna. Krishna is fulfilling all our needs without our knowing actually, without our asking. We should be grateful for whatever we have got. Sometimes we keep thinking, oh, I don't have this, I don't have that. But we are not grateful for what we have. If we have got this nice healthy body, you should be grateful for Krishna. At least you have got two hands, two legs, two eyes. A lot of people don't have that, so you should be grateful to Krishna and utilize whatever boon you have got in service of Krishna. Rather than keep asking, 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 we should see what Krishna has given me. So when we pray to Krishna, it should not be what I want from Krishna. First, we should be grateful to Krishna what He has given, glorify Krishna. And when Sudama Brahman got all those opulences, when he reached his home, he really ultimately found this big palace on the place of his small kutia. His wife is decorated with nice jewelry, nice sari, his children are dressed nicely. So he was grateful to Krishna that Krishna, without me asking, Krishna gave me everything. But then he did not become just consumed by those opulences. Did not leave Krishna's bhakti, Krishna's service. He was still completely detached. Staying in those opulences, he still utilized all his time remembering Krishna, glorifying Krishna, chanting the holy name. Yes, ma'am. Yes. Right. So, thank you for adding that. Okay. So, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.